You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour, Meat Friday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. I think we have, what kind of cheese is in this?
Pimento.
Pimento cheese, somehow. Like, is it mac and pimento cheese? Are we making that?
Maybe burgers with, I don't know.
Pimento cheese burgers coming up? All right. Well, the Traegers are all fired up here, and Tyler, the moderator, is doing a great job on loan from Chat Row. Say good morning to those watching on Peacock. Peacock, you can check out WrestleMania coming up this weekend. We'll talk to The Miz. He will be one of the stars. He's a big deal in the wrestling community. Miz will join us. Keith Hernandez, the former Met great and Met broadcaster. He was on the call yesterday when Michael Conforto leaned into a pitch with the bases loaded and purposely got hit by a pitch. And we weren't even sure the rules. If you were able to review that, the umpire admitted afterwards he made a mistake. So we'll talk to Keith coming up. Phone calls always welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. We stumbled upon something, the Mount Rushmore of athletes in respective cities around America with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey. And we were talking to Tom Curran, who's the Patriots insider, and he offered up Tom Brady, Larry Bird, Bobby Orr, and Ted Williams, or Big Poppy. We have a couple other ones. Los Angeles, Sandy Koufax, Eric Dickerson, Wayne Gretzky, and then you could put in Magic or Kobe, Kareem. San Francisco, Barry Bonds, Jerry Rice, or you could put in Young or Montana and Steph Curry. No hockey there that you would bring in the San Jose Sharks for. Mario Lemieux, Roberto Clemente, Joe Green, and Sidney Crosby. Well, I can't go Sidney Crosby and Mario Lemieux. I have to go Mario Lemieux. And then Roberto Clemente, Joe Green, basketball-wise, we don't have that. Cleveland, Jim Brown, LeBron James, Bob Feller, or Otto Graham. That's another football guy. No hockey. Michael Jordan, Sammy Sosa, Walter Payton, Patrick Kane. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, Chicago's kind of weird because you can go multiple from teams like Ernie Banks could be in there over Sammy Sosa, or Walter Payton's in, Michael Jordan are in.
Yeah.
But then some people would say Dick Butkus. He was raised there, played high school football, played at Illinois. Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane have been all-stars there for like 14 years.
Yeah.
But they're not Bobby Hull.
How about Detroit? Gordie Howe, Barry Sanders, Ty Cobb, and Isaiah Thomas. That's pretty good. I don't know if that rivals Boston with Brady, Bird, Bobby Orr, and then you put in Teddy Ballgame. Yeah, McLovin.
Here's a fun one for you. New Orleans, Drew Brees, Pistol Pete. Mm. They put Zion in there. And they said Ron Guidry. Is he from Louisiana Lightning?
Yeah. Gator's from there. Yeah, but you don't get that. You got to play in that city. I'm trying to think.
But some teams don't have four teams. Yeah. You know, a lot of cities don't have four teams. So can they double up on one sport? That's unfair.
I guess. I mean, I'm not going to nitpick. It's last hour on a Friday. Yeah, Paulie.
If it were the state of Ohio and not just a town in Ohio, would that change things? Because you could be a college athlete. You know, Archie Griffin or Woody Hayes. Or.
Well, there were the Cincinnati Stingers. That was a hockey team in Cincinnati, obviously, the Cincinnati Stingers. Mark Messier, I think, played for the Cincinnati Stingers.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why I know that.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. What's poll question we're going to go with, McLovin?
Oh, I put up our NBA player soft. I actually have no idea how people voted on this. Vamp for a second, please. I'll find out here. What do you think? I think they're the softest they've ever been. I think, like, Devin Booker's a tough guy now. It's ridiculous.
Okay. Anybody over 40 is going to say that today's athletes are soft, right?
So, yes, 92% say that NBA players are softer than they were 10 years ago right now.
I remember the day when I played. Okay. Keith Hernandez, the Mets color analyst for Sports New York, SNY, and former batting champ. A little controversy yesterday. Michael Conforto leaned into a pitch, bases loaded, ninth inning, a walk-off hit by pitch, and Keith kind enough to join us. Walk me through that at bat, Keith. How it started and then how it ended.
Well, there was two strikes, bases loaded, obviously. I forget the count. It might have been
1-2.
1-2.
Yeah.
The pitch was clearly going to be a strike. I did not see. I think Gary Cohn, our play-by-play guy, or Ron Darling, our my other analyst in the booth, saw the umpire raising a right hand to make called third strike. Okay, I noticed, because I'm watching Conforto move his elbow in at the last minute, you can't do that. That's not legal, and it should have been a strike three. Now, the rule, I got sent by Baseball Academy this morning. I'll read you the rule, but it doesn't stay. It's a little ambiguous. It's not ambiguous. It's right to the point. If the ball is in the strike zone when it touches the batter, it shall be called a strike, whether or not the batter tries to avoid the ball. If the ball is outside the strike zone when it touches the batter, it shall be called a ball if he makes no attempt to avoid being touched. But what it doesn't say is what's the rule about a hitter going in intentionally to get hit, whether it's out of the strike zone or in the strike zone. The pitch was a strike. So by the rule, it clearly should have been a strike three. But besides the point, the big point is you allow all these players with this armor on their elbow. You know, I got hit in my elbow. It's no fun. And it hurts there. And you better put ice on it quick or it's going to balloon up and you're going to miss a couple games. Fortunately, I had Ron Hunt as my, when I was 19 years old in my first big league camp, he was my roommate and he taught me to ice it for 24 hours overnight after you got hit on a joint. So you'll play the next day. But with the armor, you're allowing a lot of hitters, and I see it. They don't move. Moving is very rare if you see someone move into the ball, but they don't move. So the ball's inside 6 and 7 inches. They don't attempt to get out of the way, and that's perfectly legal not to move. But you cannot intentionally go in to get hit by a pitch, and it was very clear on the replay. Now, the second base umpire has the view too. Has a good view. The opposite view of the home plate umpire. He could have overruled. Now, I thought Gary Cohn made a great call because we got a list of calls that can be challengeable and what calls can be. Gary knew right away that a hit by pitch is challengeable. But that wasn't the call.
Okay? I know.
Mattingly can challenge. He got hit by a pitch.
Yeah.
But you can't. It's an umpire's judgment where the hitter moved deliberately to get hit. But it was apparent the pitch was a strike. And so the umpire behind the plate, Ron Culpa, blew the call. If he was raising his right arm to call it a strike, then by the rule we just read, that's strike three.
Do you have a problem with what Conforto did?
Yes, I do. You were just talking about back in our day.
But he's helping his team win, though, Keith. Like, whatever it takes. I don't have any problem with it because it's up to the umpire to police the game. Guys cheat all the time.
I understand.
So, but, I don't.
So, the umpire blew the call.
Yes, he did.
That would upset a lot of people on the opposing team. And I'm very curious to see Saturday how this unfolds when Conforto gets up the first time. I don't think anything's going to happen. But I know that Steve Carlton told me a great story about Ron Hunt, and you know, he got hit all, he had the body armor, and Carlton said, I was winning 5-6-0 in the eighth inning, and Hunt was leading off, and he said, I know he's gonna foul off 8 pitches, so I just hit him on the first pitch and let him go to first base. So I didn't spend any bullets, which I thought was just hilarious.
Yeah.
So
because Ron got hit over 200 times in his career,
he was
the all-time leader.
Yes.
Did Biggio end up passing him?
I don't know.
Or Don Baylor was up there too.
Don got hit a lot also, and there was no body armor in those days for Don. So anyway,
are you okay if the Marlins hit Conforto on Saturday?
Am I okay with it?
Yeah,
I would be okay with it, and we'll see if there's a brawl. You know, I don't know. I'm sure umpires will. I don't know how it's going to happen. I just don't think it's going to happen in today's game. I don't think it's going to happen.
It was wild yesterday because I'm watching and I'm going, and I was right there with you and Ron. I didn't know what the rule was. I thought, well, just check replay. And then you could only check replay to see if he got hit. But, you know, Ron had already, Culpa had already made his call. So
He could have been overruled, the second base umpire or the first.
But how much time had to elapse, though, Keith, before he could do it? Because the Mets
they conferred. They conferred.
Yeah.
And the first base umpire is not going to have a view because Conforto's back to him. Second base has the best view, and third base could have made the call as well. But I just think umpires are regulated so much, Dan, and I think that, to me, they're looking over their shoulder so much that they are petrified sometimes to make a call because they're observed. And
can
I think
you feed your cat, Keith? What's wrong with
Haji?
The...
Haji's the pain in the neck. He's
a Marlins fan. He loves seafood. He loves fish. Yes.
Right. So I just think, you know, it was one time in my career where we had a lot of good umpires in the National League, but we had a handful of bad ones. And they took a poll, and the league decided to take a poll of the players, coaches, and managers and rate the umpires. Now, you can have a player or a manager or a coach that has a grudge against a certain umpire, but when you have over 900 players, I think you're going to get a fair assessment of a rating of the umpires. And like any business, there are, if you have an incompetent employee, you get rid of them. Hire competent umpires, and I think there's a lot of them out there, but there's always a scattering of bad ones. Weed them out. And I also feel that you need umpires that have got to have the courage of their convictions. And I think with the today's game, with the challenges and the instant replay, number one, it's a crutch for the umpires. You know, if I'm doing my job, I don't want to be overruled. I'd be embarrassed if I made a bad call inconsistently. I would be embarrassed by that, and I would step it up, you know, step up my performance. But I think it becomes a crutch where the umpires, we see it, I just kind of see them getting lazy and say, well, I get it wrong, blah, blah, blah. I don't like that. I don't like challenges too, because we're trying to speed up the game. And the game's become a game of bullpens, and that's why the game has become so long. And you got eight guys out in bullpens, and you cannot give me eight guys that
just pet them.
You can't give me eight guys that are all going to be great relievers. There's going to be some soft spots, and there's a lot of guys that throw hard that don't have command, and a lot of 3-2 counts. And I understand why the game's become a bullpen game, and that's why the games are longer because of the pitching changes. So who wants to have the challenge? I mean, I can tell you how many games, Dan, where it's the final play at the plate and the runner's safe and it's challenge and you got to wait, what, 3-4 minutes for the game to be officially over? I just hate that.
It used to be instant replay. Remember when we were growing up? Now it's just replay because it takes forever with replay. We're talking to Keith Hernandez and his cat.
Haji.
Haji. Haji is needy, man.
He is one of the – he's like a dog.
He's, you guys like, have the same kind of hair color, by the way. Hey, I was talking to Jeff Perlman, and he wrote a book on the 86 Mets. He wrote a book on Showtime Lakers. Showtime Lakers going to HBO, and they're going to make a series out of it. Do you think that they would ever do like a mid-80s Mets, you know, kind of series, like TV series?
Oh, a TV series?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I don't know. I know that ESPN is gonna is doing a big documentary on the 86. I was interviewed two winters ago, and they're doing a one of those, what are those, a 2020 or whatever it is?
30 for 30.
Yeah, they're going to have a thing on the 86 Mets, which I'm kind of looking forward to.
But you could make a TV series out of the 86 Mets.
You can do it on the Bronx Zoo, too, in the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wasn't around the Bronx Zoo. I was around the 86 Mets, and, man, you guys led the league.
How old are you, Dan? You're my age, aren't you?
Going to be 65.
Yeah, I'm only 2 years older than you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were around. We were aware of what the Bronx Zoo was about.
Yeah, but I wasn't around it. I was around you guys. Like,
so you can draw Social Security now. How about you? Look at you.
I know. I'm getting up there. I got to get me a cat, too. I gotta make that work here. The Mets continue their series against the Marlins tomorrow at Citi Field. Jacob DeGrom, oh no, he's gonna go probably six quality innings, give up one run, four hits, no decision, or lose the game, Keith.
Well, it's incredible that he doesn't get a lot of runs. And it's been kind of like when I was a kid growing up in San Francisco, it was Gaylord Perry. Gaylord Perry was the hard luck pitcher for the Giants. You always lose 2-1, 3-2, lose those close games. And DeGrom has taken it to a new level. I think a lot of it had to do with the COVID outbreak on the Nationals. He was supposed to pitch the real opening day, and he got put back. And they didn't know if they were going to play the next day or the next day, so he couldn't do his sideline. So they made a decision on six, not pitches, just six innings. And I disagree. I miss the pitchers going nine innings.
But you get these guys. Nolan Ryan didn't get a lot of support. And they said, well, you know, his players got bored because it was either a strikeout or a walk when Nolan was on the mound. Sid Fernandez, it felt like, had a no-hitter through five innings every time I saw him pitch for the Mets. There are just certain pitchers who don't get off. I don't know how you explain it, that they don't get run support.
You know what it was when we were on the road, or it was getaway day? It was like we didn't want Sid pitching getaway day. we wanted Doc out there, get on that airplane and get to the next town.
Sid was going to take forever.
Well, he got a lot of swings and misses.
Oh, he did. He got as many swings and misses as anybody I remember. If you look at like per pitch, how many swings and misses? Sid Fernandez got a ton of those, man.
Yes, he had. Well, he had 200 strikeouts, more than a few times in his career. He was, and he was fun to watch pitch because he was just so unusual. His stuff,
his physique.
It doesn't matter. That's the beauty of baseball.
I know. Well, look at Schilling. He had one of the worst bodies, and he was a great pitcher.
And you got. You don't have to be 6'4". You can be like Freddie Patek. We're not being contemporary here.
No.
All the players today are 6'5" and 6'6". I mean, they're just – I'm 6 feet tall, and I feel like I'm dwarfed by them.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, it's great to talk to you. Have fun. My best to Ronnie, and hopefully you have a little bit of drama on Saturday. Not too much drama on Saturday.
Yep.
And,
we'll see.
And feed Haji, okay?
I did. I'll feed him again. Right. Just for you.
Thank you, Keith. That's
all right. Good to see you, Dan.
Keith Hernandez. Keith Hernandez there with Ron Darling. Gary Cohen with the call on that broadcast there. We'll take a break here. We'll get to phone calls. Yeah, I was there when, you know, game six of the World Series in 86 with Keith. Keith would always have Michelob right next to his locker. As soon as you walk in, Keith had the first locker on the left, and he had a six-pack of Michelob always there after the game. And game six, the Bill Buckner play, you know. He had his beer right there. Yeah, Paul.
Did it make it easier? This might be a silly question. It's obvious, but that the players seemed to hang out after the game and that the media had a lot of access. You know, you could talk for 15, 20 minutes, and the guys were kind of hanging out a little bit.
Well, those guys had fun, and they weren't afraid to show you that they were having fun. Like, you could be around him, around them, and they were fun. The game at Citi Field, Jacob DeGrom on the mound against the Marlins. Coverage begins at 12:30 Eastern on SNY. My thanks to Keith Hernandez for joining us on short notice. Coming up, the wrestler, The Miz, I've got a beef with him. And I'll get that out of the way to start. But 21 after the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show. Phil Mickelson, Xander Schauffele, John Rahm, and me. We play the Callaway Chrome Soft. Playing golf today after the show.
Nice.
Yeah. Playing golf.
We are?
I am.
Oh.
Got my clubs. Got my Callaway Chrome Soft golf balls there. The Chrome Soft X, that's the number one ball on tour with Callaway. Gives the elite players precise shot workability. But they give you a ball for everyone. And that's what's great about Callaway. If you're a pro, low handicapper, or weekend warrior, if you want a great performing tour ball, the Chrome Soft is for you. If you want to hit bombs, Callaway's longest tour ball, the new Chrome Soft XLS. Low spin profile provides max distance off the tee with tour level short game spin. It doesn't matter how good you are, how often you play, they have a ball for you. Chrome Soft isn't just better, it's better for everyone. Find your Chrome Soft today at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Oh, it's a Traeger Meat Friday. Got the wood pellet grills all fired up. Wi-Fi connected convenience here. Traeger Grill. Redefine the way you think about outdoor cooking. Pick one up at your local dealer today or visit TraegerGrills.com/JP Show to learn more. In case you're wondering about the top five players in the modern era since 1901, hit by pitches, Craig Biggio is number one on the list. Don Baylor, Jason Kendall, Ron Hunt, and then Chase Utley.
Stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Big event coming up this weekend. It'll be WWE. It'll be WrestleMania. And The Miz taking on Bad Bunny in a tag team matchup during WrestleMania this Saturday, streaming exclusively on Peacock. Sign up at PeacockTV.com, and we'll talk to The Miz. I think he's joining us now. Let me start with this. I know you're from Ohio, and I'm from Ohio. I went to the University of Dayton, so I wasn't smart enough to get into the school you went into, University of Miami of Ohio, like yourself.
We are the Harvard of the Midwest.
Oh, I know.
So, I mean, I don't mean to brag about it or anything, but you know.
Oh, go figure that you would brag about something there, Miz.
I mean, they did call it J. Crew U. So, I mean, they had many nicknames. The Harvard of the Midwest and J. Crew U were the two that I always went by.
How close did this come to not even happening, this career?
Honestly, it came basically, if I did not get on the Real World, I don't think any of this would have been possible because I think getting on the Real World opened my mind to say, you know what, you could do stuff in the entertainment world. Like, I'm from Parma, Ohio. When you're from Parma, Ohio, you know, you go to college, you get it after college, you go back home, you get a job, you get a family, and that's what you do for the rest of your life. And that's kind of the mode I was in. Like, I went to Miami, Ohio for business, not for entertainment, not for theater. And so if I didn't get on the Real World, I would not be sitting here. I'd probably be working at my dad's Mr. Hero.
How do you find your personality in wrestling?
I think it's time. I think it's confidence. I think it's finding your voice. I think once you find your voice, I think it's like acting. When you're finding a new character, you find the way they walk, the way they talk, how they act, what drives them, what motivates them. And so that's kind of where you start. And then, you know, I've been doing this, The Miz, for 16 years now in WWE. And so it's kind of just second nature for me.
Did you sample from other wrestlers growing up?
I think everyone does. I think that's the when you're first training to be a WWE superstar, they say take from your favorites. So my favorites growing up were like the Ultimate Warrior. Now, granted, I didn't paint my face. I don't paint my face right now. But when I was a kid, you better believe I was painting my face like the Ultimate Warrior and putting streamers on my arm and running around the house annoying my mom. And then like The Rock, Austin, all my favorites, you know, I try to take little samples from them, but also I still want to be my own original character and original Miz. And so I think I've done a good job at a fine line of fine tuning myself and making sure that, I give an originality to my character.
Let me give you the power to go back and wrestle anybody one time. Who would it be?
Ultimate Warrior. I never got to wrestle him, and he was my all-time favorite as a kid growing up. I mean, I looked at him, and he was just larger than life and huge and just big personality, big energy. As soon as he came out of the gate, he was running. He had this unbridled, like, energy that you couldn't match, and I just was so entertained by him.
But do you want to beat your idol? Would you have been okay losing?
Yes, 100%. I would want to beat or get beaten by my idol. either or. It does not matter. I have gotten beaten by, like, a person that I looked at. I've gotten beaten by The Rock. That was a pretty interesting take. I mean, WrestleMania 27, I'm in the main event of WrestleMania. I'm holding the WWE Championship. I beat the poster child of WWE and John Cena with The Rock's help. And then after that, The Rock rock bottom me, give me a people's elbow.
What's the hardest hit you ever got?
The hardest what?
Hit.
Actually, that at that WrestleMania, I got tackled off of, like, a table onto a concrete floor, and my head smacked on the floor, and I could not remember anything. I was knocked out, and yeah, it was insane. It was insane. I think anytime you do anything with your brain, that's one of the that's the hardest thing that you could possibly do.
Explain the art of falling.
The art of falling. Okay, sure. So when you're first learning how to become a WWE superstar or a professional wrestler, you learn how to fall. And the object is to fall flat on your back with your arms flat out. So basically you got to watch your head. And obviously when your arms go flat out, your back muscles kind of tense up. And so it allows your head not to snap. And so I didn't do that time at WrestleMania 27.
You and your wife rehearse things since she's a wrestler?
You know, we rehearse things in the ring, in the bed, whatever we got to do. You know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, we definitely rehearse. My wife is one of the longest reigning champions in WWE history. And she's done a tremendous job with her character and doing her thing in WWE as well. So it's always nice to have your wife. Like, when my wife was, like, kind of like my manager, you know, whenever you have your wife by your side and, you know, the person you love, and you're wearing, like, a Speedo, you kind of want to show off in the ring. And I feel like that was, like, the best time that I've had as a WWE superstar, because, you know, I was always every week, you know, I show off in front of the audience. But when your wife is standing right there, you know, you give them a little extra.
What do fans say to you when they see you on the street or see you outside of the ring?
I get a lot of yells, a lot of awesome people doing my catchphrases. Correct is my new one. I basically asked John, my tag team partner, John Morrison, a question, and the answer is always correct. And it gets really annoying, but that's my job, to annoy an audience. But the thing is, once something is really annoying, it starts to catch on, and you start to do it. And so, yeah, I mean, anytime John asks me a question, it's always correct, correct, correct.
How do you put your game face on? You know, athletes always talk about when you go into the football field or whatever it might be, you got to kind of gear up for that. You're gearing up for something that is competitive. But how do you put that? I'm mad. You know, moments before that you get into character.
I think it's we have a position called the gorilla position. It's right before we go out. It's where all people are watching the show and telling us how much time there is, you know, what we're going to be doing next. So there's that little area right before we go out to the ramp when our music hits. Usually I'm very nervous. I have butterflies in my stomach. I can't even talk. Sometimes I feel like I'm going to faint. You know, because emotions are running so high, you know, you never know what's going to happen in WWE. It's not like a concert where they play the same song every single day. It's a new match, a new thing going on each and every time. It's a new crowd as well. And our crowd is interactive. They boo who they hate. They cheer who they love. And you never really know what you're going to get. And so when you go out there, you know, you hear the reaction. And once I hear that reaction, all of those nerves go away and it turns into this immense amount of energy, adrenaline, and I feed off of it. And it, I really enjoy it. And now with WrestleMania coming up on Saturday and Sunday, you know, it's the first time we've had a live audience in over a year.
Yeah.
So I cannot wait to feel the electricity of that audience, to feel that energy. Now, granted, WWE's did a great job with the virtual audience. You know, we have a virtual crowd in a place we called the Thunderdome, and they've done a great job in making it feel like a live audience, but having the real life human beings in that crowd, it's going to be amazing.
And you're working with Snickers.
Yeah.
Their role in this is what?
So WrestleMania is presented by Snickers, and at Dollar General, you can get my Snickers bar, which I think is incredible. It says awesome on it. My catchphrase is I'm the Miz and I'm awesome. So you can go to Dollar General and you can get a candy bar that says awesome on it, and it's dedicated to me. And I cannot believe, like, never in my wildest dreams when I was growing up as a kid, you know, going to convenience and getting myself a Snickers bar, did I ever think a Snickers bar would be dedicated to me? So it's pretty incredible. And I'm always very thankful for all the opportunities I'm presented. And I'm just very thankful. You know, I love Snickers, and they do a great job. And I got my own Snickers bar. It's kind of cool.
When's the last time you had a wardrobe malfunction?
Ooh, I haven't had very serious wardrobe malfunctions, but I have seen a person. So one of the things a bad guy will do is grab the tights because it's illegal, and throw a person because it's easier to throw a person when you grab onto their clothes. One time a guy grabbed onto the person's Speedo or tights, as we call them. He ripped them off. He didn't, like, they just came right off. And the guy was just standing there butt naked. And you hear the crowd, and it's live, by the way. You don't get two takes. So you hear the crowd just go absolute silence, and you hear one lady go, and then everyone else starts erupting. But this poor guy was just whole, and the other guy that was wrestling him had no idea that the guy was naked, like, had no idea. And I don't know how he didn't know, but he didn't know.
I'm guessing the woman who's laughing, that's not a good thing if you're the guy
that's
who's
not a
naked.
Good sign when a woman is laughing in the crowd.
So what happens to Bad Bunny this weekend at WrestleMania?
I feel sorry for him because, you know, I don't feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for his fans because they're probably not going to hear him sing in probably a good year, because that's the amount of time it's going to take for the wire out of his jaw to come out from when I'm done punching him.
Wow.
So, but yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, he came for a performance and he overstayed his welcome and he beat down the wrong door. And now, no matter how many times he has, I mean, honestly, Bad Bunny is one of the biggest recording artists out there right now. He just won a Grammy. He has over 1 billion views on all his videos in YouTube. Like, just one of his videos has 1 billion views. Like, that's not a million, that's 1 billion. So the guy is wildly famous, has a huge fan base, but he doesn't understand that at WrestleMania, this is our Super Bowl, our World Series, our NBA Finals. And we honestly feel it's bigger than that. It's the greatest spectacle you will ever see. And you'll take away moments that'll last a lifetime. It's just, the sad part is that Bad Bunny's fans are going to take away a moment that they're not going to want to see. And he's not going to want to feel, because I am one of the best of all time. I'm the only two-time Grand Slam champion in the history of WWE. And I plan on showcasing that at WrestleMania.
He's the greatest wrestler ever from the University of Miami, or Miami University. Miami, you are the best wrestler to ever come out of there. Is that correct?
You know, I would say so. I would say I'm almost the one of the most famous people ever to come out of Miami University of Ohio. But, you know, it all depends on what sport you like. Like, some people like basketball, where they'll say Wally Szczerbiak is. Some people like football, where they say Ben Roethlisberger is. You know, I like to pat myself on the back and say, well, I'm the biggest.
I'm waiting for the Broadway musical Les Mis.
Aren't we all? You know, I'm waiting for them to give me a call, and maybe I can go over there and, since I am the Miz, be Les Mis for once.
Mike, thanks for getting up with us, and have fun this weekend. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Yeah, definitely tune in to WrestleMania as presented by Snickers, Saturday, Sunday, April 10th and 11th. And if you want to, April 12th is Monday, and my show, my reality show, Ms. and Mrs., is coming back with all new episodes on the USA Network at 11 p.m. You're not going to want to miss it. It's a family-friendly show. It'll make you laugh out loud, and it's fun. It's entertaining. So thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms.
Have a good one.
That's the Miz. He's wrestling Bad Bunny coming up on Saturday night on Peacock. Yeah, Paulie.
And his wife is a big time wrestler.
Yeah.
So when they're around the house just killing time, do they say, "Honey, why don't you leg drop me real quick? I gotta get loose."
I don't know.
But that if they were
get
like
into that, but I did ask him if he practices wrestling moves with his wife.
If they were both soccer players, they would kick the ball around the backyard.
Let's take a break. Last call for phone calls and whatever's coming off the Traeger grill. You'll be able to see that if you're watching on Peacock. We close up shop here on the Dan Patrick Show right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Close up shop as we always do on a Friday, a little Arcade Fire. This goes out to Lee Elder, finally being recognized for what he meant to the Masters, first African American to play there, got honored yesterday. Yeah, it was nice to see Lee Elder honored yesterday, the honorary starters with Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player. And Lee Elder is a gentleman. Wonderful person. Got a chance to sip and socialize with him a couple of years ago at Hootie and the Blowfish's Monday after the Masters. And it was that important. My son was there with me, and I made sure I went and got him just so he could meet Lee Elder, understand what he meant to the game. So got a chance to be honored yesterday at Augusta. Paulie, got leaderboard?
Yeah, it's getting kind of tight. Justin Rose, who was -7 going into the day, is +3 after 7 holes today. Ooh. So he's -4 for the tournament. He's 4 under right now. Okay. Bernd Weissberger is 5 under today. Second place.
Okay.
Mark Leishman is in 3 under. Jordan Spieth, 2 under. He's in the top 10. Webb Simpson, Patrick Reed are all in the top 10.
Mark Leishman has a Leishman's Lager. I think he has his own beer. Yes, McLovin.
You're not going to believe this, but I was totally going to take Bernd Weissberger.
But you didn't, so I don't want to hear about it.
But I actually thought Victor Hovland was Bernd Weissberger because Victor spells Victor with a K, and Bernd leaves the A after Bernard. I'm not kidding.
All right.
By the way, Victor has not teed off yet.
Yeah, Victor Hovland, who got traded yesterday for Xander Schauffele.
Are you going to be watching Schauffele versus Hovland, the side battle of the weekend?
Yes, that's the main battle for the weekend. Let me see. A couple of phone calls. Sean in California. Hi, Sean. What's on your mind today?
My uncle from another mother. My brother's behind the board. Aloha, Dan. 5'8". 85, a delicious 185, by the way.
All right.
So, man, I just wanted to call because this has been an amazing Friday, man. The joke about Fritzy walking around looking like he had bandages around his legs because he has white legs and he has shorts on. The snarky Seton calling people out for the hairless dog is a hairless dog. What was the other gem that he dropped earlier? Phillies fans, that was amazing. But I do want to take a little bit of exception with one of your callers, Matt.
Okay.
You cannot have your wife spend her entire morning on hold to wish you a happy birthday on the Dan Patrick Show. That is the squarest thing I've ever heard. Taryn, you are a gem. You are a godsend. I don't know what you look like, but you sound beautiful. But for everybody else, suck it, Andy.
All right. Sean.
Wow.
Andy's Taryn's husband. And I said to Andy yesterday, you know, how do I get a shout out on my birthday? I said, well, have somebody in your family call. And he had his wife call. Alan in Texas joins us. Hi, Alan.
Dan.
Hi, bud.
I have my Mount Rushmore for the Dallas area.
Okay.
I have Nolan Ryan, Dirk Nowitzki, Emmett Smith, and finally Mike Modano.
Okay, that's pretty good. I like that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Yes, Paul.
Is Emmett Smith bigger in the Dallas community than Roger Staubach? I know he had a more successful career rushing record. Not sure, though.
I don't know. Roger's still a big deal.
Big in the community.
Yeah. Mike in Indiana. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Dan. Good to see you. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Mike.
First time, long time, 185.59. Not Rushmore of Indy. It's a small market, but it's pretty impressive. Peyton Manning, Reggie Miller, fifth in it, Wayne Gretzky. He started his career at Broad Ripple High School at 16 for the Racers. Yeah. And Mario Andretti.
Oh, no, we're throwing a race car driver. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, Gretzky was there with the Racers, I think, when he was, I don't know, 19 years of age, something like that. Jeff in Detroit joining us. Hi, Jeff.
What up, though? One time for chat roll. Happy Meat Friday to you, fellas. Dude came in and stole my thunder, recapping the hilarious hijinks of the week, but you guys did a wonderful job. I guess my question is to you, at the end of the Masters tournament, when the champion gets donned the green jacket, who will we be talking about, the course or the champion?
Probably the champion. You know, depends on what the scores are. Thank you, Jeff. Have a great weekend. I mean, if the winning score is 2 under par after having a 20 under par in November, then we'll be talking probably about the course. By the way, baked pimento bacon mac and cheese. Grilled southern pimento cheeseburger. This is a real deal. I mean, these are hammers. Hammer burgers. Yes, Eaton.
The mac and cheese is one of the best things we've ever had here.
That is, and we'll put the recipes up on the newsletter.
It is. It's phenomenal.
It is. It is. And I would never go. I would never go there because, you know, we're getting towards, bikini season, shred season, Shred Fest 2021. Hello. But, man, it's that good. Let's see. Final results of the poll question, then we'll go around the infield here.
Are NBA players softer today than they were 10 years ago? 93% say yes. Right.
What a wacky show this was today. Fritzy, what'd you learn today?
When talking about most beloved Boston athletes, Tom Curran says Bird, Brady, Bill Russell, Ted Williams, Big Poppy, but don't forget Bobby Orr.
Yeah. Yeah, he is beloved. McLevin?
My Philly, Mount Rushmore, Dr. J, Mike Schmidt, Bobby Clark, and Nick Foles.
Nick Foles.
Statue.
Seton O'Connor.
Beat the Patriots.
Today we discovered a new sports talk radio concept, doing Mount Rushmores of different sports. This might catch on.
We invented this.
Mount Rushmore sports.
Yeah. Paulie, what'd you learn?
Keith Hernandez and his cat Haji have the same hair colors.
What we learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, their five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans are built, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend, everybody. For Seton, Paulie, Fritzy, McLovin, and everybody else behind the scenes here, the Dan Patrick Show. Take care. Close out the show. Send you into the weekend with Simply Safe Home Security. Go to the website, simplysafedan.com. Customize your home, and you will get something that's simple to install, but very, very, very safe. A security system. You set it up. What kind of cameras, sensors do you want? And then you can talk to one of their experts if you need to. It'll take you 30 minutes or so to install it. It'll take a couple of days to get to your house. Nobody comes in. No electrician, no technician. It's just you. And you're able to do it. Also, no contracts to sign, no hidden fees, no pushy salespeople. Make sure you tell them we sent you. SimplySafeDan.com. Customize your system. Get a free security camera. 60-day risk-free trial. Once you install it, the professionals take over. You get 24/7 monitoring. The best that you will find. Plus, you'll love the price, the monthly price there for protecting your loved ones and everything in your home. Go to SimplySafeDan.com. SimplySafeDan.com.